I'm just going to be led by the Spirit this morning. I had something very different I was going to start with, and then in the class this morning, our dear precious sister Diane Caliendo was speaking after her dear and precious husband. It doesn't sound quite as good when I say it about you, Rich, sorry. But her dear and valiant, courageous warrior husband, after he had shared and taught from the Word, we did communion together, and it was such a powerful time. Those who are here, you know what I'm speaking about. And it was a powerful reality, and I feel like I need to connect part of where that was left off with a little bit of what I had prepared to share today, and it'll be quite different than what I had thought. But I believe this is where the Lord wants us to start this morning, and it'll be in John chapter 6. If you want to turn there, I know Jared exhorted us last week to make sure we always have the Word, whether it's on your phone or a tablet or the Bible itself. I was so blessed by my son, my four-year-old this morning. He's got one of the, oh, there it is on the floor. He's got a Daily Bread. You guys have these little books, our Daily Bread books. They're super. They're easy. You can stick them on a, leave it on your driver's seat. Every time you get in your car, just pick it up and read one. But he calls that his preach book. So he's like, I got to go back inside. I got to go back. I got to get my preach book. So he opens it and he pretends to read about Jesus. It always has Jesus. So it's pretty awesome. But we're going to go to John chapter 6. And because I haven't cut and pasted verses out to go into my notes, it looks like we're going to just start in verse 22. John 6, 22. Sorry, sound guys, if you see me doing that. I'm trying not to get into the microphone. It says, John 6, 22. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except the one that Jesus' disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks, the miracle of the feeding of 5,000. In verse 24, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. I don't know, but I bet that was some good bread and fish that day. You know the story, the little boy's lunch. I bet that bread and fish, Frank's smiling. I bet that was better than that cod that you get all battered up. Frank Pickley is an amazing fish connoisseur. Sea Deli. If you've never had a fish fillet from Sea Deli, you've missed out. It's right over on Broadway. No extra charge, Frank. He said, they got into boats themselves when they saw Jesus was gone, and they're hunting him down. They're like, we got to find this guy. I bet that was some delicious, and Jesus calls them out on it. He says, you're just impressed because you ate of those loaves and that supernatural fish, and you were filled. In verse 27, he says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give to you because the Father has set his seal on him. And then they said to Jesus, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you simply believe in him whom he sent. A lot of us would love to skip over and just get to the part where we get to do cool things. And it starts, Jesus says, whoa, rewind a minute. First, just believe. don't worry about all the stuff you see me doing. It starts with belief. Once you believe, the rest of it is easy. It's just, don't miss the foundation, because there are many stories we see in the New Testament where folks got a hold of the power of the name of Jesus, but they didn't actually believe fully in him. And so when really the heat was on, they didn't do well. And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. And therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? And what work will you do? Right after he just did the miracle and fed them, right? The human appetite and of unbelief is just insatiable. We're always going to desire some other proof that God loves us and that He is who He is, beyond just what we see that He's already done. That's tragic. But in verse 31, our Father, He says, our fathers ate the manna in the desert as it's written, and He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And then they said to Him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to Me shall never hunger, and he who believes in Me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen Me, and yet you still do not believe. All that the Father gives Me will come to Me, and the one who comes to Me I will by no means cast away. For I have come down from heaven not to do My own will, but the will of Him who sent Me. And this is the will of the Father who sent Me, that all of those who He's given Me I should lose nothing, but should raise them up at the last day. And this is the will of Him who sent Me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life. God's will for your life is that you would have everlasting life when this one is finished, that you would live forever with Him. That's His final dream. That's His pinnacle of success for your life, is that you would not perish, but that you would receive everlasting life, not just the temporary one you received from mom and dad. And I will raise Him up at that last day. But then the Jews murmured against Him because He said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, isn't this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that He says, I have come down from heaven? They're so stuck on the natural. They could see the natural Jesus. They couldn't get their faith beyond what they could see with their natural eyes and recognize the power He functioned in was supernatural. It was given from above. And Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to Me. Verse 46, not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in Me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and now they're dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is My flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us His flesh to eat? And Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For My flesh is food indeed. That was the phrase that Diane used this morning, and it just struck such a chord in me. For My flesh is food indeed, and My blood is drink. Indeed, actual, indeed. He who eats My flesh and drinks My blood abides in Me, and I in him. As the living Father sent Me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on Me will live because of Me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. He keeps repeating this reality about who He is. These things He taught in the synagogue as He taught in Capernaum. Many struggle. In fact, the doctrine, if you have Catholic background, if you are Catholic, they literally take this text and they say when you partake of the communion elements, that the wafer becomes the literal body of Jesus Christ, and the blood, that the wine literally becomes the blood. It's called transubstantiation. They believe, they have faith to believe that this is what happens. I'm not here to knock on anybody's faith. If that's your faith, that's your faith. The reality is you can take the word and interpret it that way very clearly from this text. I happen to believe slightly differently. I believe that what Jesus is trying to say here is something that this generation and many generations, even the one that He's talking to right here, missed. There's a very thin line here. There's a very thin membrane that on one side it's one way, on the other side it's another way. I don't know if you know, but a lot of people had power out last night. You know, you can watch electricians working on the high voltage wire. Did you ever see what they put on their hands, Pat? You know, rubber gloves. How thick does it have to be? Probably not even a 16th, or I don't know how many mil it has to be. You can put on just a thin insulative membrane between your fingers and thousands of volts and just touch it. Just go ahead and touch it. It can't get through that thin, thin barrier just on the other side of that. You just get close enough to that, that thing can arc out and just turn you into a vapor. It doesn't take much sometimes for us to miss the full power that Jesus is offering to us because we settle for something that's just on the other side of it. I don't know if any of you have had frustration in your life. A lot of times that's because we just get to a point and we're not quite willing to just go the extra little bit. We've worked hard to get there. We've worked hard to get to that point, but to get to the next point, it's going to take just something that we're not quite ready to acknowledge and to sacrifice before the Lord. And so we miss this power that's available to our lives just by the thinnest of barriers. And I think what Jesus is saying when he's just going, and if you read on in the story, we won't keep reading, but many of them left. Only the few disciples were left. And they said, well, let's read it. We're almost done anyway with that part. I don't want to paraphrase and ruin a really powerful piece of scripture. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Literal, physical, reality, life. For now and for eternity. The words that Jesus is speaking. But there are some of you who don't believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who didn't believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it's been granted to him by my Father. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Doesn't say they took a break. Doesn't say they said, no, this guy's talking about something that's way too serious and way too deep for us to get our gray matter around. So we're just going to distance ourselves from this person who we thought was a great teacher. He's got these powers, but he's kind of freaky when he talks about eating his body and drinking his blood. And I think many of us in this room would probably do the same thing unless you were led by the Spirit and unless you understood what he was talking about. What Jesus is talking about is a level that many people would rather not go to because it's literal and it's real. He didn't ask his disciples that stayed behind to say, okay, he didn't put his arm out and say, okay, now take a bite. He didn't do that. So he wasn't actually talking about taking a bite of his flesh, was he? He didn't slit himself and give them all a drink of his blood. No, the ones that stayed behind that weren't turned off by what he had said about the literal level and depth of commitment that would be required of them, he began to teach them and he began to explain things to them. They began to get to the next level. They were at a certain level. They loved the miracles and they loved passing out free fish and bread to the followers that were there to be taught that day. But there was another level of commitment he was requiring from them, and it was to literally be a part of who he was going to ultimately become, which is the bridegroom and the church and those believers, his bride. We live in a world that is incredibly impressed with what is synthetic and what is non-real. Some would say that there's some great benefits to be had in the abstractions of modern existence. I keep wanting to say reality, but it's synthetic. It's not what I would call true reality. I don't know if you know, but you know, the currency of the future won't be something you carry with you. It'll be digital. It'll be cryptocurrency. It'll be something that you don't actually put in your wallet. It'll be something that is attached to you in some way, whether it's a stamp on your hand or forehead. The Bible talks about exactly how that will happen. But the reality is we are phasing out everything that is material that you can touch in this new world in the name of advancement. Do you know? I mean, I assume everybody knows that Facebook doesn't exist anymore, right? Do you know what it is now? Okay, so some people are watching the news. Okay, good. Not that I'm sad to see it go. I don't even like saying that name anymore. It's got so many bad memories attached to the original name. I think we can all relate to that, right? Everybody went through Facebook drama in the past 10 years, however long it's been around. A lot of good things too, but Meta, and you know why Meta is the new name? Anybody know what that's all about? I think it's intriguing. I love watching the overall think tank of humanity on Earth try to solve humanity's problems. It's just, from an outside view, it just kind of makes you giggle, and I wonder if God doesn't just sit. It says he sits in the heavens and laughs at the schemes of men, because it's just like, where do you think you got the brain from that's doing all these things? I gave you that computer that you're just trying to now reproduce outside yourself and call it amazing. He's just got to be almost amused, heartbroken, I'm sure, because much of it leads to a worship that's not a worship of him. But I want to read in Romans chapter 1 before I connect a few dots here this morning. We live in a reality now that we once dreamed of a synthetic reality. Now we have the capacity to create it. And we're at warp speed creating it. And it's incredible, some of the things that I'll just mention briefly this morning. And I'm not opposed to some of it. I'm not opposed to digital currency. I have some Bitcoin, not a whole one, but I have some part of a Bitcoin, in case you're thinking, you know, I just got 60 grand sitting around, or I guess it's down to 40-something now. But anyway, that stinks, but it is what it is. I got some Dogecoin. If something can make me money when I'm sleeping, I like that. That's okay. It can lose me money when I'm sleeping too. But I'm not opposed to some of the advancements in where we're going. I even have some Ethereum too. So I'm a well-rounded investor now. It's only been a few months, so I'm giddy with it all. It makes me laugh to be able to have things that don't really exist except in a database somewhere where there's some ones and zeros or however that thing works. But we're so impressed with what we can create ourselves that we in all our advancement, we've fallen prey to one of the most primitive problems of humanity on earth, and that's that we lose the worship of God for the worship of what's been created. And Romans 1 talks about this so clearly. I'm just going to read, starting in verse 18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." You know, if you're in unrighteousness, you'll automatically suppress the truth. It's what you do. If you're in unrighteousness, you'll always suppress the truth. You'll attack the truth, but you'll also suppress it. "Because what may be known of God has been manifested in them, for God has shown it to them." Well, that's, how did he show it to them? It says in verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen." Clearly seen. "Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but they became futile in their own thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man." How fitting. To trade the real bread. I was going to say Wonder Bread, but then I don't know if that would be the right. You do know Wonder Bread's not real bread, right? Okay. Go to Bread Alone and ask them to make you a sandwich on Wonder Bread. They're probably going to kick you out. That's real bread. That's real bread. They traded or exchanged the glory, the tangible essence of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. We know back in the day, Abraham was an idol maker. This has been going on since the beginning. Any world religion, the ancient ones, they had objects that they believed had some power, that they had spiritual connection to the realm beyond the natural realm. Humanity has done this forever. It's nothing new. We're impressed with what we can shape the natural elements into and then think it has power simply because we molded it into something beyond what God had molded it into. He gives us the building blocks, if you will, and then we create something and we're all like, wow, look what I did. And if you're not careful, pride creeps in and you don't realize you're all impressed with what you've done. You don't realize where the materials came from that and the brain that he gave you to put them all together. You see, this all begins and ends with him. But he says when men's hearts become darkened, they become futile in their thinking, and they profess to be wise, but they only become fools. Why? Because they're just having to settle at that point for less than God. They're just dealing with the stuff that God has made. And in verse 24, it says this, "Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and who worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Now, it's easy to think, well, I don't have idols on shelves, and we don't pray or burn incense to these different things, but Jesus revealed that everything that connects us to the Father has to do with the heart. Has nothing to do with what sits on our shelf. Yes, idols are real and gods and all these things are real and they should be taken out if you have them. However, Jesus looks at the heart. If our heart is more given to the materials of this world than it is to Him, He interprets that, or from His point of view, having been the one that created us and our reality that we're living in, He absorbs that as you're worshiping what I made instead of worshiping me. We can all do this in different ways. People think materialism just is for, you know, maybe the wealthy have to deal with this. They get so materialistic and they're so worried about their image. But no, materialism just means that we trust in the material stuff that the Creator made rather than the Creator who made the stuff. It can happen to poor people. Poor people just feel like, you know, the widow, she just had a little bit of oil, a little bit of flour. That was what she was clinging to. She was very poor. She wasn't rich or materialistic, but she was clinging to materials as the only thing to keep her alive for the next few days. And God shows up and says, wait a minute, if I'm in the mix, all you really need is the bread of heaven, because when you have me, you have enough and you don't have to worry about starving out, because I'm always going to continue to supply all of your needs according to my riches where I come from in glory. But you can trade that glory. You can trade the glory of God, the presence of God that can surround your life when you're driving, when you're sleeping, when you're eating, when you're in worship. You can trade that for a sensation rather than the real thing. It's incredible. Everywhere we look, we're just infatuated with it. Now listen, I'm not against video games. I understand that my kids would vouch for the fact that I'm terrible at video games, because I'd learned how to play them about 3 years ago, and I haven't played in about a year and a half, because I recognize how quickly you can get pulled into this world of abstraction, where you're on a screen, but you're doing all these incredible things. The lure and the pull of the video gaming community is a new force on planet Earth that's never, ever even come, nothing ever, nothing is even close, I don't even know what I'm trying to say. There's nothing that comes close to the magnetism that it has. And you can include, you know, video pornography. You can include all these other visual things that come onto a screen into this, what I'm talking about. But never before has there been the ability to be sucked into a world that's actually not the one where you're breathing the oxygen in. It's incredible. And I feel like it's time to warn all of us, because the reality of where we're going is that much will happen when we're looking. You know, remember, I don't have time to just think about it. The enemy, the chief, you watch a magician, they look over here, look at what I'm doing, because what's really happening that's going to make the trick work is what you're not looking at. It's just classic predators do it. They look over here, meanwhile, shrunk, you come and, you know, if you watch pack animals hunt wolves, you can have lots of illustrations, but they're always about the distraction so that the prey is looking in the wrong direction when they get taken out. And I feel like there's going to be a draw and a pull. It's already there, but it's just becoming so popular, and it's amazing to me. Just as a broad statement, it's amazing to me how what is popular, the more synthetic or artificial or man-made something is, the more popular and the more quickly it seems to spread and be scarfed up by all these hungry people that are just looking for something new that, wow, look what man has done. The metaverse is one of those. And I'm so intrigued by this. I don't own any real estate in the metaverse yet, and I probably won't ever, although I hear it's pretty, it's still affordable. Yeah, if you don't think you have enough trouble keeping your own house and stuff together in the world called Earth, these next few years in front of us, they say that the metaverse will be worth over $50 billion just in the first couple years, just in real estate alone. Yeah. Bill Gates said yesterday that most virtual workspace meetings in 3 years will happen in the metaverse. So you might want to figure out what it is. You might want to learn about it. Hey, I'm glad I see someone younger than me frowning, like, what is he talking about? Good, I'm ahead of a, what are you, 20, 22? Oh, man. Pays to read, don't forget that, read. Don't watch videos, read. It's amazing what you can learn if you just have your eyes open, but this is crazy. There are design firms that are engineering buildings for people who want to own real estate in the metaverse, and there's one called Vortex, and they have, on average, $300,000 fee in the U.S. dollar to use cryptocurrency to do it there, but it's converted from U.S. dollars, $300,000 to have a property designed in the metaverse. If If you want a dumb by the best, Norm's going to get one soon, right? Adele will talk, you know. Oh, they'll have critters. There's always going to be bugs. There'll be glitches. Squirrels. There's always squirrels. Doesn't matter where you go, there's always a squirrel. There will always be squirrels. I just think it's fascinating. Like, we don't have enough problems here. But what it is, I'll tell you what it is. It's an escape mechanism where we can get distracted from whatever's happening here, and we can get absorbed into another reality. And you put the glasses on, the 3D glasses. I mean, you think about where virtual reality has come from just in the past several years. It's incredible. It's absolutely stunning that we have created a reality and an existence and are creating. It's just getting started. I mean, this metaverse will have its own currency. You'll be able to invest there, pull it out, and use it here, and vice versa. It's going to be absolutely incredible. But it's I'm not saying to go and buy it. I have enough trouble just keeping my own physical stuff where I lay my head down together to not worry about spending money elsewhere. But for the people that are affluent and to have it's becoming a status symbol to be able to have real estate and sign up a developer who can engineer for a mere $300,000. They can engineer something in the metaverse that'll be impressive, and Hollywood can look at what I have, what you have, and all that stuff. I just think it's incredible. But my point is this: synthetic, artificial, whatever happened to the world that we live in, where we need oxygen to live? Isn't this one amazing? Or have we lost sight of the fact that it was created and handed to us to have dominion over? I think this idea of having it, creating another universe or a metaverse, I think the idea of creating that is probably just merely a distraction from the terrible job we do even with what we have here. It's just tragic to me to think that we as humans would have more time to invest and money and resource to invest in an existence, in a reality that's not, I don't know, it's crazy. It's just wild. It's wild stuff. I mean, it's, you know, they just had they just designed a piece of property that's now worth $4.3 million and sold it in the past month. So if you got an extra $4 million sitting around and you want to, let me read what Forbes has to say. The metaverse is an interactive form of the internet that reflects the physical world and includes shopping and entertainment. Has received outsized mention in 2021 as large corporations, including Microsoft and Meta, formerly Facebook, have started to invest billions in the new space. Over the past few months, attention from investors has been focused on the digital land grab. There's a land rush in the metaverse. I'm glad you're laughing, because a digital land grab in particular, which has seen plots on platforms like the Sandbox and Decentraland sell for as much as $4.3 million. Voxel Architectural Designs worked on many property and developments costing in the $300,000 range to engineer them. I mean, I was going to talk about other things too. Anybody know what an NFT is? I should probably have Tom Segretti come up here and just explain all this stuff in the real language. NFTs, oh my goodness. You know, so the U.S. Constitution, not the Constitution, but the NFT, the non-fungible token that allows you to have, not it, but the digital representation of it, secured and everything, but it's there here, but it's, you don't have it in your closet, you have it on your computer. What do you think that could sell for? A copy of the U.S. Constitution. Not it, but just the digital NFT of it. And you can trade this, and you can sell it, and you can try to do other things as time goes on. How's $43 million sound? Yeah, that's what it sold for. $43 million. It's incredible. Who likes the Yankees? Who knows who Brett Gardner is? You can buy an NFT, digital copy of Brett Gardner. It's just a file on your computer, but you can buy it. It's secured. Blockchain technology has made everything able to be secured. If you have an extra $21.28 million, that's what that sold for. Now, you don't get Brett Gardner. Brett Gardner's not going to come to your house, but you get a digital representation of him. It's not a photograph. It's just a thing that you own Brett Gardner, and someone was willing to pay $21.28 to own a digital. Next time I'm going to have you describe it all, Tom. I know you could do better. Tom Segretti's a whiz. Michael Jordan had a signed Dream Team ball. I think the Dream Team was when they played in the Olympics. Wasn't that the Dream Team in 1992? the whole team signed it, Michael Jordan. What do you think that might be worth as an NFT, a non-fungible token? $1.06 million. Not, you don't get the ball, you don't get to put it in a box. It messes with your head, doesn't it? But real money, people that understand the future of where we're going are putting real dollars and real sweat equity into this reality that's just another layer away from, I mean, you could say, well, this one's not even totally real compared to eternity, and you'd be right. But this layers of reality, and I think it's incredible that this next generation, they're going to throw everything into that because you can put the glasses on and you can go into all these spaces and shop and do whatever you want in a world that just exists in your own digital electronic reality and not actually have to leave. And the miracle of Amazon and shipping is, guess what? You can buy it there and it'll show up at your door, so it'll feel just like you're actually somewhere else. It's crazy.
What?
Yeah, I'm sure. Hey, we'd be the first church. There you go. I'm sure pastors far smarter than I have already purchased prime property. And they're already. But completely synthetic, completely manageable, completely controlled, 100% under the control of whoever is setting this up. And I don't know what you think of Mark Zuckerberg, but there's the brain behind it. So if you understand his values and his value system, you'll understand that it's not going to reflect godly principles and values in this metaverse. This is his brainchild. And many others have come together. But I want to read Colossians just to wrap this up. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 through 4. It's back to John chapter 6. We've got to get this. I know too many people who are struggling to get their heart around. They would say, yeah, I'm a believer, I know Jesus, I've received Christ, and all these, they have the right phrasing, but they haven't taken off the glove and touched the wire to see what's actually available to their life. What if Jesus didn't come to just give us a better reality, a more polished real experience here on earth, but he actually came to give us life? Remember he said, you eat of me, you get life. Not a better life, just life, period. Colossians 3:2 says this, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. How many of our woefulness, attitudes, brokennesses, how much of our inadequacies would be solved if we just got our hearts by revelation around that first opening sentence of this verse? Set your mind. That's the part we have to do. If you don't set your mind there, not on the things on the earth, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, people think, Jesus is now part of my life. It's like, it doesn't work. Jesus doesn't get added to the list of what you're going to do today. He becomes the list of what you're going to do today. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Why? Because we're already in Christ. He's already in us because he is now our life. Galatians 2. Paul had a powerful revelation of this, more powerful than anyone else who's written in Scripture, of this new creation, this new reality that God creates for us who want to go there by faith. He says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh. He doesn't say I don't live in the flesh. He still ate. He still bathed. He still drank. Or he would get dehydrated. He was still very much in the flesh. But he says, I don't live the life that I live in the flesh. Christ lives it through me. I live this life by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave what? He gives himself. See, many people want to talk about the Beatitudes. They want a teaching of Jesus. And they want to try to apply it to their life. And they want to try to get a better life and a beneficial response from applying the teachings of Jesus, but they're missing Jesus. He doesn't just give teachings, he gives himself. He taught them up until the day he went to the cross. After he went to the cross, he then gives himself. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. Do what? Partake of me. Not my teachings, not just my healings and remember the miracles. I'll do it in remembrance of me, the fact that I gave my life so your life could be redeemed. Romans chapter 8, again, the Apostle Paul in verse 1 through 2 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes me free from the law of sin and death. The reality of eternal life becomes ours the moment that we begin to believe it and accept it by faith. And we can start walking it at any time. I mean, the metaverse, I don't even want to go back there because it's just such an abstraction to my mind. It gets a little weird just trying to think about it, trying to process the realness of it and the fact that billions and billions and billions of good dollars are going to be pumped into this thing. It just bugs me. But anyway, it's that same reality. If you do not invest, if you don't go there, Jesus says, set your mind on things above. It's that same notion that you can take earth stuff now and you can invest it for an eternal return from a place that's outside of this earth and this territory. I feel like this is a perfect way to help bridge that gap mentally. Jesus gives himself. He doesn't give us a better variety of ourselves, a better version, or he offers himself. And that's what he was trying to say in John 6. He's like, if you don't let it be this real, so real that it's as if you're ingesting me into your mouth and digesting my body and my blood. If you're not willing to go to that level, you're just going to have a synthetic virtual representation. You can have the sensation of being a Christian without being a Christian. You can sit on a couch and not leave your living room and not even leave your chair and have the sensation of skydiving. You put the glasses on. You've seen the videos probably where people put, they're standing up and they put the virtual reality glasses on. They're looking around and all of a sudden they fall and they run into the wall and stuff because it literally becomes your reality. You're not even in the living room anymore. You're now somewhere else. And if you sit down in a chair with a controller, you can control and manipulate. You can go skydiving. You can go racing. You can go sword fighting. You can go do whatever you want. You can build, you can create, you can do art, you can do everything with your two thumbs as if you're doing it with your physical body and your avatar's doing it in a virtual space. I feel like it's just such a clear parallel here in the Spirit. That in the same way that we can sit there and have these experiences and have this sensation of doing amazing things and yet not do them. I think that's what the word means when it says always learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. You can learn so much about skydiving, but until you do it, imagine if you're reading and you're skydiving, dictionary, sky, what? You jump out of a, what? You look sky, that sounds cool. And then you go to a friend and they have it on their phone. They ask, maybe they have a video. And so you're skydiving, that's a thing? You jump out of things and then you can like not die? Yeah, so they show you, and you know, you actually see someone skydive, and you see the parachute open up, you see them land on the ground, and you're like, oh my goodness, I didn't know how this was going to happen, but that's pretty cool. And then maybe some other friend has the one where they put the, you know, the thing on their helmet, and it's almost like you're doing it yourself. You look at the screen, and you're like, whoa, so you feel like you're skydiving. You're still not skydiving, though. How many people have been skydiving here? More than I thought. Military, probably. No. Nobody pushed you off the plane? You did it. You did it voluntarily? All right, I have a whole new respect for the audience. I want to mess with you guys. How many videos did you watch? How much training? You watched other people maybe do it before you did it, but then when it was your turn, tell me that wasn't different than just all the simulation and everything else that led up to you deciding that you could do it yourself. That I've never done it, so I'm just as easy to use that as an illustration. Maybe I need to do that soon. I better do it. I want to do the squirrel suit. I don't know if you can just go skip parachutes and go straight to the squirrel. You want to do it too? Simon, we'll have to look into this. Simon says squirrel dive. It's all about the stinking squirrels, Norm. I can't get away from the squirrels. They're everywhere. Let's just stand together. We better stand up. I'm going to keep rambling. Jesus, all we're here this morning to say is that we just want the real you. We want all that you have. We want everything that you've said about us and that you've said about the way we can know you. We don't want to just know about it, but we want it to be our experience. Holy Spirit, we know that we can't see things unless you reveal them, and we can't hear things unless you open our ears to hear them. Lord, for some, maybe it could happen in this moment right here in front of us. Maybe for some, it could happen where you just divinely touch a life, just touch a mind, heal synapses in the brain where suddenly things that were pathways of thought can just be restored back to the way you intended us to be. And for God, for that, we thank you, God. For some, we need to learn how to just be in your word more, be reminding ourselves of who your word tells us that we are and who your promises remind us of what you're going to do. And Lord, for those of us in that category, just give us reminders, give us the strength, give us the diligence to continue to pursue an understanding of who we really are and the way that you see us. God, we don't want to settle for just the sensation of doing something and the sensation of knowing you and being close to you and being in an atmosphere where we know that you are. We want to actually touch the hem of your garment. We want to be impacted by the power that's available to every single one of us who believe. God, we thank you that you are doing a work in your bride in this day on this earth where you're actually pushing us closer together. You're drawing us into a place with the pressures that surround our lives and the negativity in the mainstream media that, Lord, all these things, by faith, we're choosing to draw closer to you because we know when we're close to you, it doesn't matter what they say. It matters who you are and what you say. God, we thank you that you are faithful to complete. Faithful to complete what you start. You are faithful to complete what you start. Oh, Jesus, we know that you are the only way through this. God, just remind us of the true reality that you've placed within us. You said that eternity has been placed in the hearts and souls of men. Cause us to go into that place, God, where it reminds us that when this life is finished, there's still an eternal existence that you've prepared for us to enter into with you forever. Oh God, if there's anyone here this morning that's just dealing with things that feels like it's outside of their control, I pray that they would trust you this morning to touch their lives, to open another layer of their lives to you, that you could break through whatever those walls have been that have kept you just at arm's length, that they could be, they could sense that they've been received by you, that they have been loved by you from the beginning. Father, we thank you that you go with us from this place, that this is not some magic room that we come where you are and then we leave and you're not outside of it. You are in us, God. You go with us. You are Emmanuel, God, with your church, your bride. And we thank you that as we go through this next week, whatever we need to do and whatever we need to say, that it would be seasoned with grace, that it would be seasoned with your love, and that you'd remind us that when we have you, Jesus, when we have you, we have all of the life that we'll ever need to move forward into all that you've prepared for us. God, thank you that you are the bread of heaven, that you are the life that was laid down so that we could go free. We thank you, Jesus. In your majestic and holy name we pray. Amen and amen. This morning, if there's anything in your life that you'd just like the ministry team to pray for, just come to the front. They're non-invasive. They probably just put a hand on your shoulder and just agree with you to receive from the Lord. God bless you. Be a blessing to someone. Maybe start with the person next to you and just greet somebody that you don't know. Have a blessed day.